on our church calendar, which is something most of us follow because it gives us the lectionary as well as when to change the pyramids. It also reminds us what a special Sunday is. For instance, Pentecost, Easter, as if we didn't know, you didn't have to write it down. Christmas, I always have that underscored. Do all of you know what this week is in the Presbyterian Church? I like that, Pat. I like that. It's Older Adult Week. Now, see, I wouldn't sit next to him either. That's true, it is close. It's Older Adult Week, and the reminder came over the email. Everything's email from Louisville. Are you going to observe it in the life of your church? Because Older Adult Sunday is today, and then the whole week is supposed to be a category of programs. Wendy remembers when we did the program, remember? Well, it's Older Adult Week. Why don't we? How many of you remember Children's Day? Oh, come on. You don't? Well, that's what I mean. Every day was Children's Day. Every day is Older Adult Day. As far as I'm concerned, it's a misnomer in terms of the church. I really do. And I think one of the difficulties, and I'm reminded of that every fall when I go to the Arms, the retired ministers share a conference with POAM, the Presbyterian Older Adult Ministry Network. And we get together and we have their classes and so on. Some are good, some are But we're together, and these are professionals and the older adult side who work in churches doing programs only dedicated to the older adult. And having done this at First Pres in Lakeland, I can only tell you it goes over like cleaning the oven. And you're grateful now that it's all electric and you don't have to worry about cleaning the oven. And someone said, why do we have to meet during the week? when do you suggest? Monthly? Okay. I mean, why don't we do it Sunday morning instead of church? It'd be more fun. I hear that. And what I said to the kids fits. Because there isn't an older adult week, there isn't a children's day, there isn't a special, there isn't even Pastor Dick week, which I like. We need to look into this on a session. Anyway, we have to concentrate, and I thought about it more and more during the past week. The love of Christ. The love of Christ. And I had someone from this church tell me, you need to preach more hell and damnation. Well, guess what? You passed April 15th, I did too. I went through hell and damnation. I didn't even need to be reminded of hell and damnation. I paid the tax. Pooey. Then all this ugly stuff. This ugly stuff. Not just Baltimore, but the other cities exploding over this. A reminder of this racial tension, which is very real in the United States. And then Barbara gave me a map that she got of the United States and where all of the hate groups are located. Nazis, neo-liberationists, da-da-da-da. Polk County's on it. Holy Toledo! And the Ku Klux Klan. I always wished I was a sheet salesman, you know. I thought, I could make a four. Anyway, I looked at this. And I thought, for crying out loud, 2015, and we still want to foster and promote hate in the name of Jesus. Interesting. So I thought, what better time than to remind us of what it's all about? And what it's all about is the love of Jesus Christ. It's hard. And it's hard to tell the kids to grow this way when sometimes we don't act this way. Open your Bibles to 1 John. By the way, you can tell I'm feeling better, so it's going to be a better sermon. 1 John, the 4th chapter, verses 7 through 21. You'll look at your Bibles. Lessons 7 through 21, and in your Bible it said, God's love and ours. Good point, dear friends. Let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love for us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. We know that we live in Him and He in us because He's given us His Spirit. And we've seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence in the day of judgment. Because of this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he's not seen. And he has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Amen. That's rough scripture. It really is. But it also shows something that's very important, I think, for all of us. Love is not a theory and a teaching from Scripture. It's more than this. It's actual bona fide fact. Nobody has clinched the depth of love John writes about in our lesson. Nobody has clinched that in their lifetime. I know a lot of people who've tried. I know many who are still trying. I'm one of them. To love as deeply as he's talking about in these verses that I shared with you, the lifelong challenge for all of us is to love God with our whole heart and our mind and our neighbor as ourself. we're expected to love one another, period. It doesn't matter who. Doesn't matter where. Does it mean we're going to have antagonisms toward people that we don't like? Does it mean we're going to have, okay, go ahead and shoot me if you want to? No, 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 no. This is not what it's saying. But it's saying a respect and a love and an honor that you have for yourself, you have for somebody else as well. And try it. It's what I would call Christian diplomacy, if possible. It's the kind of love John's proclaiming calls for a new kind of reality about what it really means to be a human being in this messed up world, which is no more messed up than it's ever been, by the way. Love moves us beyond our resentments. It moves us beyond our criticisms and our jealousies. It calls for us to let go of our long-standing grudges, our impatience, and our self-centeredness. Most of you know I'm a student of history. I love history. And Barbara and I went to an estate sale last year, and I plunked down $2 for a book because it's been out of print for a long time. And the title of the book is Harry S. Truman by Margaret Truman Daniel. Her reflections on her dad and looking at it over his lifetime. And I've just about finished it. I'm at the Korean War. A lot of things I didn't know. But I was more interested in the era when he was facing all of the communist witch hunts that we went through as a nation. And it was interesting to hear, and he wrote to his mother and his sister regularly, and he wrote in his diary. And some of his comments are absolutely pithy and wonderful. They are. Whether you like him, the man, or not, you have to admit he was basic. And he's probably the last non-college graduate president that we've ever had. And yet he was a person who read and read and read to make himself knowledgeable on what was going on in the world. But it's so funny to read some of the little biting criticisms that he has about some of our politicians. And you know what amazed me? It sounded like today. It did. Word for word. Change the image. Same colossal garbage. Where people don't matter. Where nobody listens to anybody outside of Washington. The problem with Baltimore? More than just racial discord. The problem with our nation? More than bigotry, more than small-mindedness, more than political expediency. The problem with our world is we've forgotten what it means to be a neighbor and what it means to like each other and to love each other. To love each other takes precedent over the liking. And we've forgotten it. The basics. You know, when you grow up with the basics, and I've heard it from many of you, I remember when. But what about today? What about today? Last night, we watched a clip, the end of a program on PBS, and it was about Sir George Martin, who was the most remarkable record producer in Great Britain. And he's noted especially for making the first recordings available of the Beatles. You've heard of the Beatles? When I first heard the word, I was older and I thought it was Beatle. That's also the one in the Scottish church that carries the Bible in on Sunday morning. The Beatle. And he was talking about his life And someone said, what do you feel like now that you've grown older? And he said, I feel remarkably lucky that I lived to be this old. We've forgotten that we can be this way. We're always a child, aren't we, in the eyes of God? Regardless of our age, regardless of how feeble we feel, isn't it remarkable that God loves us and we get to the age we are and we get up in the morning? Because if we don't, you know, the odds are you'll read your own obituary. We're rooted in God's love. If we're rooted in it, if we're shaped in it, we ought to be transformed, and so should our environment around us. We're called to love one another in the same way God loves us. Look at it this way. And I got this out of something I was reading. A light bulb. A light bulb is about as useless as nothing when you're holding it, right? But if you screw it in properly and then turn on a switch, the electricity, which you can't see, well, you can feel it, turns the light bulb on. Electricity is necessary to produce the light. The power comes from an outside source. Okay. Love doesn't just come within us and isn't not an easy thing that you can just pick up and say, I've got it. Love in us comes from God. Comes from God, from outside. God's energy creates our love that is made visible then in all that we do, in all that we say, in all of our actions. To love one another. Our love for one another is a sign that God's love then is present in us. Do you mean the impact of this scripture is, if it's evident in us, then God is seen? Actually, God is seen. Remember Jesus' metaphor of vine and branches bearing fruit? Remember that lesson? Marvelous. We're the branches. We are the branches that produces God's love. Love is more than a feeling. It's not passive, but it's active. It's bold. Love casts out fear and bigotry and prejudice and hate and vengeance. Vengeance. What kind of love? What kind of love are we talking about? It's the love you feel for your husband or wife. It's the love you feel for your child. It's the love you have deep in the recesses of the sweet memories of growing and maturing. It's the love that you have for a friend who really made sacrifices for you in your lifetime. It's the love that you have when you get up in the morning and that sun is shining and you thank God for a new day. It's a love for your brother and a sister and a neighbor and a friend who offers you some support and love in return. It's that kind of love. Love can reconcile enemies. Love can unite people. When I read that book on Truman, can you imagine what I'm reading about the Marshall Plan and all the forgiveness that was going on for Germany and Japan after World War II? It happened. What did you think? I thought when the Prime Minister of Japan spoke to a joint session of Congress from the same podium that President Roosevelt said on this day of infamy. Love. Love can make friends out of foes. Love can erase terrible 50 years. Vietnam, the Exodus. They had it all over the news this week. And yet, we've reopened a consulate and we've got trade. I looked at some shirts at Belk's and they were made in Vietnam. Christ's love comes to us as a gift. You don't earn it. You don't need to worry about losing it. God's love for you is certain, it's unshakable, it's unwavering, and it's unbreakable. God loves you more than anything you could ever imagine in human terms. And that expectation is inside you. Love is action. Love is expressed in caring, compassion, in service. God's love for us is most clearly visible in Jesus Christ. And that love is so full because He laid His life down for us to forgive our sins. Our lives really are opened and refreshed and renewed because of this love from Jesus Christ. So what's the suggestion? We're going to improve our society and our world overnight? I doubt it. Are you going to change your life the moment you walk out the door this morning? Nah. But do this one thing. When you leave, leave in love. Hold your hand out. Hold your hand out now. Hold it out. Because God's plunking down in the middle of your hand the love of Christ. All you have to do is take it. Take it. Let us love one another, for love is of God. God, we're grateful for so many things and so much stuff. But more especially are we favored and gifted over and over again by Your love. So strengthen that in us more than anything else. For Your glory in Christ. Amen.